Hello and welcome to The Laydown, a Gibson's Bookstore podcast. I'm Ryan, my pronouns are she, her.
I'm Jo, my pronouns are they, them.
And it's just us this month.
It's just us, I know.
We had a different thing planned, but that fell through at the last minute, which is totally fine. These things happen. But so instead of our previously planned episode, we are going to do a Laydown reading challenge check-in.
Yeah.
Which is going to be fun because we're a little halfway.
Yeah.
Going to see how we're doing, how you guys are doing. But before we get into that, we're going to talk about what's been going on recently.
Yeah.
What have you been reading? How's things?
Yeah. You know, good. I'm currently, we're recording this Sunday of Barbenheimer weekend.
It's true.
Ryan's seen Barbie twice, Oppenheimer once.
Yep.
I'm going to my second showing of Barbie after this, and then tomorrow I'm doing Barbenheimer, so we're doing great.
Amazing.
But I've also read a lot.
You have been reading so much.
A lot of books. A lot of poetry, too, which has been fun.
Which is cool.
I'm the biggest poetry reader.
We're going to be highlighting more poetry in our social media, etc. One of our managers, Paul, is really, really into poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't often staff pick things. Like, he's sort of, if you blink, you miss him. Like, most of you may have never met Paul before. He's only here a couple days a week, but he's been here forever. And the other day I was like, hey Paul, I want to recommend some more poetry because we have a really amazing poetry section, but it's kind of hard to just stumble across a new poetry book. You kind of have to know what you're looking for. And when I tell you, he lit up like a jack-o'-lantern. He was so excited he started pulling books off the shelf. Like, he was going through his recently read. He was like, oh, this one and this one and that one and this one and this one and that. And I had a stack of poetry books. It was so cute. Starting in August, I think you're gonna see some more poetry featured on our social media and specific poems that are featured and things like that. So if you're into poetry, or if you're not into poetry but you've always wanted to be into poetry, now's your time to shine.
Get some out. I've read, there were three that I read that I really, really liked of the poetry collections. One's Negative Money by Lillian Yvonne Bertram.
Mm.
I have the hardest time reviewing. I think that's another reason it's hard to, know how to feature poetry, because it's hard to describe. But really, really beautiful, well-written poems about being a Black queer person and other just things about life. It's cool. Very beautiful collection. Similarly, The Study of Human Life by Joshua Bennett deals a lot with the Black experience and has some just really great poems. It has a whole poem about tardigrades, which is just really cute.
Amazing.
Time is a Mother by Ocean Vuong, which I feel like everybody already,
oh my god,
yeah. But good. Incredible. Good queer Incredible. Poetry.
I love that.
So those were the three that really stuck out of the ones that I read.
That's very cool. Are you allowed to share why you've been reading so much poetry?
That's a good question. I will. I think it's fine. We've announced now. I was on the committee that helped choose the finalists for the New England Book Award,
which is so cool.
Yeah. So that was fun. Fiction, nonfiction, and poetry. So I've read all but one of the ones that made the finalist list for poetry.
Incredible.
And that was just because it's back ordered, so I couldn't get
Can't read it, but
it looks really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I know Negative Money, you wrote a review for it, and Zephyr wrote a review for it, and I was like, okay, this one feels good.
And the poet is from Mass, I believe. I can't remember what school it is. It's some, like, Boston area university that they teach at. And so, yeah, I think a very good one.
That's awesome. Exciting. And yes, the New England Book Award finalists have been announced, and they will announce the winners at the NEBA Fall Conference in October, which I suspect several Gibson's booksellers will be in attendance.
Yes.
We're very excited for that. So those, in addition to other kind of like prize winners, like the New England Book Awards, I feel like is a really good place to add books to your TBR.
Yeah, definitely. I think because so much of both the nominations, finalists, and then the books that win are contributed by booksellers. Like, booksellers are nominating, they are voting, that sort of thing, that it's a good way. And I think sometimes they're a little bit more accessible than some of the more Booker. Yeah. Like, the Booker Prize can be kind of inaccessible, or, you know, the Nobel.
It's, the Pulitzer.
Yeah, the Pulitzer. Like it's a little bit more, you know, the books it's, you actually...
Yeah, it's what the booksellers are reading. And they're all New England associated.
Yeah, they're either about, like, either set in New England or written by someone from New England.
Yeah.
Ideally, kind of both. But,
which is really cool, so... Sometimes I'll be reading a book that was either, like, you know, presented at NEBA or was nominated for a New England Book Award, and I'll start it having forgotten that, like, if it was part of that, they're probably a New England author or about New England. And, like, I was reading Manhunt by Gretchen Falco Martin, and every single time she mentioned, like, a New England town or, like, something in New Hampshire, I would get so excited, and then I'd be like, well, duh, she lives here.
No, it is weird. That's, I also read, I Have Some Questions for You by Rebecca Mackay, which takes place at a boarding school in New Hampshire, and it's just very weird, because, like, you have to understand, people who are from places where books are set, like, that's not a thing that happens in New Hampshire. We have like a handful, and most of them are not, like, famous. Like, we have John Irving, basically.
And most people in this country think New Hampshire is like a town.
Yeah, they're like in Vermont or part of Vermont or Massachusetts, and it's like,
they think New England is a state, and that Boston is a state.
But that's, people don't have, So, that one, I liked that one because I felt like it did New Hampshire well. Like, I was like, okay, this is a person who has either lived here or has spent a decent amount of time, because I have definitely, I remember there was a book I read, and this was, like, years and years and years ago, but it was about somebody getting a train from Boston to Dartmouth. Being like, girl, you can't do that.
Maybe,
like,
someday.
But would be great.
Would love that.
Love more.
It's not a thing.
Trains, but, like, no, that's, you can't get, you can't have to drive that way. So,
that's so funny.
Yeah.
So that's very cool. What else? Yeah. What else have you been reading?
Yeah, so I've read a lot of just kind of eclectic stuff. So I Have Some Questions for You was a really good, like, mystery set at a boarding school. I did really enjoy that one. I read a decent number of mysteries. I read Killingly by Catherine Buettner.
Okay.
Which is set in the 1890s at Mount Holyoke. And it's about the disappearance of a student at Mount Holyoke, and it, you know, kind of goes between the perspectives of, like, her best friend, maybe more than friend, and other people. Her, you know, the guy who wasn't her fiance but really wanted to, in a, like, way that was maybe a little bit not great for her. And so, like, going through all these people and their reasons for looking for her or not, and, like, who knows what happened, what aren't they telling people? It's layered, and it's a really interesting look at, like, yeah, women, and especially because, like, Mount Holyoke was, is, I think, to this day, is a all women's college, so it's, like, a very specific women-centric community, but then still has so many men
around it,
shaping it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that one was really well written, and I really enjoyed. So I read Scorched Grace by Margot Duhaime, who we had an event with a little while ago, and I didn't get to go, but I did get to meet her at the New England Booksellers Conference last fall, and she was super nice. And this is, I think Ryan has talked about it, because it's a queer tattooed rock, like punk rocker who has become a nun who is solving a mystery at the school she teaches at.
It's the best.
And it's just the so greatest fun. Cover.
The cover is so good.
Like stained glass smoking nun.
Yeah. And
incredible.
Yes. She's a really fun narrator. I get the impression that it is going to be a series. Like, they call it like Scorched Grace, a sister holiday mysteries, which implies that there will be more. And I think she'll be a fun, like, kind of central.
And this was the one that was hand-selected by Gillian Flynn as a part of her new, like,
yeah, I think it imprint. Might have been her first
it was
book
the,
in the
It
imprint.
Was the first one. It was, like, Gillian Flynn was like, I want to set up, like, an imprint that's basically, like, Gillian Flynn Presents kind
mystery
of.
Mystery, mostly. Yeah.
Of mysteries. And this was the first one. And so it was really cool to, like, have met Margot at that conference. And then to be seeing the promotion. And to see Gillian Flynn promoting this book. That I'm like, we know her!
So good. And, yeah, she is one of the finalists for the New England Book Award.
Yay!
Which is great.
That's so exciting.
We love Margot. So that one was fun. We both listened together. We listened to My Murder by Katie Williams.
We did.
Which is a really interesting, weird concept about a woman who was murdered, and they used DNA from her corpse to clone her.
Yeah.
And so now she's back, but she's not in the same body, but she has all her memories, except she doesn't remember her murder, and, like, kind of trying to figure out what's going on, and clearly, like, there are things going on, and he's the man who was convicted of her murder, and he was a serial killer, so there's a community of women who this all happened to, that they were murdered and brought back, and, like, what, how to grapple with your own murder.
Yeah.
And it was a really, it was a weird, interesting little book.
Yeah.
That was, we listened to it all in one day on a road trip around to other New England bookstores. So, it was a good one.
Yep.
And then I have read a couple queer horror books.
Yay.
I don't think I talked about Brainworms by Alison Rumfitt last time. I can't remember. I know Ryan has talked about it. Guys, that book is intense.
it's something.
It is definitely a book that, like, if you are not a horror person, this is not for you. If you are not, like, a graphic horror person, this is not for you. Like, definitely check trigger warnings if you're a person, and and it's just, even if you're just squeamish, like, there some of the descriptions are rough. And it is it's about parasites and transphobia. I feel like Alison Rumfitt's books are nearly impossible to explain. It's like
it's hard to make them sound great, but they are great.
They're really really well done. And really interesting looks at, like, the relationship trans people, especially trans women, or specifically trans women in this instance, the relationship with their bodies, and, like, this kind of element of horror and monstrosity. I think I'm saying that as a, like, it is something that there are a few books that I've read recently that have been, like, kind of grappling with queer identity in relation to being a monster, and, like, that is why horror, one of the reasons horror hits hard for the queer community, for certain members of that, like, idea of being othered. So that was intense. Yes. And there are some images that, like, will never, like,
But it's great.
It is. I also read Everything the Darkness Eats by Eric LaRocca, which finally I feel like you and I have both been talking about reading anything by them for a long time.
So
and
long.
Now Eric. We have both read this, and again, a lot about, like, queerness and horror and
that one's definitely, like,
so hard to describe.
Like, what if, like, small town, bigotry running rampant, and also people are going missing, and something weird is going on, and there's someone that's there, it's weird vibes, and yeah, people are going missing, and just horrific, like, police brutality and homophobia, transphobia.
Again,
it's intense.
Great. Honestly, yeah, it's one of those ones that, like, the horror elements weren't as intense as I was expecting, but, like, the topics are very intense and serious. But,
agreed. I felt that I feel like a lot of reviews for Eric LaRocca books are very, like, oh my god, the descriptions were so disgusting and I could barely read it, and, like, I, a horror reader, I'm like, very desensitized, but there were a couple of scenes that I was like, hey Joe, heads up.
there's
like one or two scenes that are actually quite
difficult
to read.
Again, a trigger one to check trigger warnings,
but in general very good.
Very
and we
good.
love Eric. We're we were hoping to I'm in the process of planning a horror panel, a queer horror panel. It was gonna be in August. We're now looking at October, because that works better for everyone's schedules. We were hoping to have Eric join us, but they're working on a lot of stuff. They have a lot of deadlines and things like that, so they're not gonna be able to join us for this one, but we will have Eric here at some point for an event. Because we love them and their books, and they do, like, short stories and stuff as well. They have a lot of, like,
that's
collections.
Most, I think this was his first
first novel.
So
so yay Eric. And stay tuned for the horror panel as more authors confirm. I will be able to actually have more info for you.
And then the other queer horror book I read, which I think you should read, you have the audiobook. Red X by David Demchuk.
Okay.
It is from a few years ago now.
I can see the cover.
It's a big red X, and it is about men going missing from bars in gay men going missing from bars in Toronto, in their gay village, which was a thing that really happened. In Toronto, there were similar murders in New York at a point, and so this one is set, I believe it starts in either the 70s or 80s, and then jumps 10-ish years each section. Up until the present day, and then between these sections that are kind of, it's a lot of interconnected characters who are in this scene and noticing people going missing. In between these sections are, like, little essays from the author about his experience growing up as a queer person in this part of Canada. And, like, kind of, again, that really does a really good job of that connection of between horror and queerness and, like, why that happens, and then the author becomes a character in the story. It's so cool. It's such a weird one. Like, I had seen it a couple times on a couple people's lists of, like, best queer horror, and I was like, okay, I am intrigued. And so it's definitely, like, it's a very interesting structure, and and they you know, they start kind of looking into why these men are going missing and what's going on there. And there's, it's very...
I not only have this audiobook, I've had it actually downloaded to my phone for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Because anytime I sort my audiobooks by horror, like I'll go through.
Yeah.
Somehow I didn't realize this was queer horror. I think I've never read the description. The description
of it. Yeah.
Well, dang.
Yeah.
Now and I'm gonna, that'll be next.
And I know it kind of, it sounds crimey, but it's more, it's definitely has a more like, horror bent to it.
Sounds awesome. I can't believe I have it. I literally had it on my phone for 2 years. Same,
and it's one of those ones that I kept seeing. I'm like, I should. And then, I can't remember why. I just was like, yep, this, I guess.
Amazing.
Yeah, and then I still have a few more. I've read a lot of books.
This is usually me. This is usually what I'm doing. Is like, I have 37 books to tell you about. Here we go.
All right. I read Lucky Red by Claudia Cravens, which is a Western. It was good. So it is about a girl who is moving with her father in the 1800s, vaguely in the 1800s,
Western times,
in Western times, and it ends up in Kansas.
Okay.
They're stopping for the night, and her father gets bitten by a snake and dies, and so she's alone, she has to walk to the nearest city, and she starts working as a sex worker in this city, and it's kind of about her life there, and kind of coming into her own. It's really queer and great, very sapphic, and then she ends up in a group of like vigilante gunslingers at the end. As
one does.
Yeah, towards the end. That's not the spoiler, but it's a good like kind of almost slice of life, like this just kind of this person's experience.
Very cool.
A queer cowboy.
Yeah.
Vibes. Yeah. I also read Girls Like Girls by Hayley Kiyoko, which, if you haven't listened to the song, you should definitely listen to the song. You should read you should read the book. You should also watch the video for the music video.
Yes.
Was a song that Hayley Kiyoko, it came out in like 2013-ish.
Yeah.
It was somewhere 2015, something in that range, like I can't remember.
Yeah.
And now she has written the book, and she reads the audiobook, and it's very sweet.
Cute.
And it's just a good, like, little summer romance. Like, there are definitely, because it's set in 2006, which was wild because, like, all of the AIM and, like, and it's interesting because the audiobook will do that thing where they, like, have sound, so like they'll have the
AIM sounds. My god. The nostalgia.
It definitely so there is a little bit of like internalized homophobia going on, and that, but it is ultimately a like cute sapphic love story, so
it's awesome.
That is a really good like summer read. Last month I talked about Miss Major Speaks, by Miss Major and, Toshio Marinek, and, I've now read it, and it is very good. This is, the book that is kind of transcripts of conversations, between this, journalist and Miss Major, who was at Stonewall, is a trans black woman, has been, in this movement for a long time, ran a needle exchange. She has a lot of really interesting things to say. And I had meant to bring my book so I could read out of it, but there was a really interesting thing talking about, why pride parades of today don't hit very hard for her, being like, and she talked about Clorox bleach having a pride ad and being like, yeah, they wouldn't let us use Clorox when we were doing our needle exchanges or the testing because they didn't want to be associated with queer people. And so like this about face is
yeah, the rainbow capitalism.
Rainbow capitalism. And so, yeah, I think it's a very interesting look at our history and, like, why maybe some of the ways we're going about things are not necessarily helping a lot of our most vulnerable members of the community. Yeah, and she's great. So you should definitely read that. Very short. And they're written into transcripts, so it's, like, super quick read. And then the last one I'll mention is One Woman Show by Christine Colson. I just read that the other day. I read it in one day.
Amazing.
Because it is written as it's about a woman, it's her life, but told as description cards at a museum.
Cool.
So it's like her name at the time changes when she gets married. What collection she's a part of. So it starts with her being in her parents' collection, then her husband's, and then her second husband's.
Oh,
and then just a little description of her in a specific moment, like, you know, at a wedding. This is her as a bride. This is her as a student. Like, and it's, it's only like 200 pages, and each page is a short,
like a paragraph
basically.
Wow, that's
so it's
so clever.
Super, super quick read. Yeah, it's written by a woman who worked at the Metropolitan Museum of Art for 25 years.
That
so she uses very specifically, like, their formatting.
Aww.
So it's a really interesting, and it is the woman it's about, Kitty, was born in 1906 and dies in 99. Okay. And so it's basically looking at womanhood in the 20th century and, you know, this kind of, her moving from husband, like, parents to husbands to, like, and kind of just always being property and kind of being in this background. And, it's a very interesting, you know, she steals stuff to, like, feel something, basically.
Amazing.
It felt that very mid-century, like, woman just not knowing how to be because she's just always been kind of this rich ornament to other people.
Yeah.
And that is very much part of why it's, like, an art exhibit. Because
she's
just an ornamental piece of furniture, basically.
Wow.
But, yeah, that one comes out in September or October. And, again, super quick read, so... I definitely recommend that one.
Awesome. That's a good list.
Yeah.
Gosh, what have I been... Okay, so... since we last recorded, I've read a few things. I read a book that... I love our reps so much. Our publisher reps, they'll, like, come in and chat with John and Heather, our buyers, and they'll, like... You know, if they know some of the booksellers, they'll, like, bring books for specific booksellers, or they'll at least, like, recommend something. And I saw one of our reps at one point. First, she had told John, hey, Ryan needs to read this book. Then she sent it to me on Edelweiss and was like, I think you should read this book. I think you'd really like it. Then she emailed me to follow up to be like,
oh,
hey, have you read this yet? I really think you'd like it. And she was right. So it's called Bloom by Delilah S. Dawson. It is awesome. It's a... So it starts out and it's like this sapphic cottage core, like romance, your protagonist, she goes to this farmer's market and she sees this, like, very, very cool, very cottagecore style, like, almost witchy, very earthy woman who's, like, peddling her wares. Like, she's got homemade soaps. She's got homemade teas. She's got the most incredible cupcakes you've ever seen in your life, right? And she goes up and, like, samples one of the cupcakes and she's like, oh my God, this is the most delicious cupcake I've ever had in my life. Like, what? And she develops this very cute, crush on this woman. And, like, the woman starts to, like, kind of reciprocate a little bit and it becomes this, like, infatuation, almost obsession. And they start to hang out. And it's this very sweet romance, and then whoop, it's a horror novel.
Oop, I love that.
Oop, oop, hard turn into horror. Yep, lots of red flags spring up, and things turn sour, and it's great. And I would say, like, this is the perfect book to read if you loved Cackle by Rachel Harrison. Mm. Like, it gave me Cackle vibes. Nice. I was like, oh, I could see recommending these two hand in hand. It's great. It's really, really good. So that's Bloom by Delilah S. Dawson. That's coming out later this year. And then, like everyone else on planet Earth, I read Fourth Wing.
Oh, my gosh.
I read Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros, and it's great. The first thing I said to someone after I read it was, like, I regret to inform you that this book is actually awesome. Because sometimes when there's, like, book talk hype for a book, I'm very wary of it because I just don't trust book talk all the time. Sometimes they nail
they
it.
They often don't have my taste in books.
That's what it is. That's what it is. It's not booksellers. Like, it's your average reader. And, like, that's fine. They're reading whatever they want to read, but it's not usually what I like.
Yes.
And so, you know, when I see a book that's, like, trending, and it's back-ordered everywhere, and no one can get it, and, like, I'm like, ugh, all right, very wary. But then, when multiple Gibson's booksellers are like, no, I've read it and loved it, I'm like, okay, tell me more. So I read it, and it's great. It's adult fantasy. It's got dragons. It's got, like, a dark academia. Like, you know, it's a war college. And there's a subplot of an enemies to lovers romance, but it's not a romance novel. There's no happily ever after for here for this one. It is... it's intense, and it's got cool dragon bonds, and it's, like, it has a lot of moments where, like, a thing happens, and you literally, like, fist pump the air. You're like, yeah, that's awesome! At one point towards the end, there is, like, a 10-page battle scene. And I usually will glaze right over battle scenes.
Yeah,
like,
same.
I can't even, like, watch them in, like, a superhero movie. My eyes go crossed, and I just, like, don't pay attention.
I'm just like, who won? Just
tell me who won. I don't care.
Did anyone die?
Right, exactly. Did anyone important die? I probably won't even remember when the movie's over. When I tell you, I listened to the audiobook of this because we couldn't get the book in stock. I was riveted for the entire battle scene, and I was actually following the action because it's the way she writes it from the perspective of the main character on the back of her dragon. And so instead of kind of like an overall, like, then this happened, then that happened, then this happened, it's like what she's seeing happen and what she's feeling in that moment and stuff like that. It was really, really cool. And this is the one that Fal had described when they were on last month as the way that the history is presented is through her own kind of, like, reciting of historical facts and things like that, which I agree with Fal. It actually works really well here.
Okay.
It's a way that she, like, focuses herself is she'll kind of give context to things. So she'll be like, all right, I need to, like, really focus on this one thing, and I'm gonna recite, you know, 10 facts about whatever this famous person from this school or whatever. But then also she'll be like, you know, she'll witness something and might be like, oh, that, you know, that it, like, triggers a fact for her. She's like, oh, that reminds me of this thing. So you get the history, but it does feel very natural. And the fantasy elements are really like grounded in modern day. It like feels like one step away from our world.
Interesting.
It's like basically they don't have cell phones and that's it. Like
okay.
They talk like us. Okay. There aren't like made up words for things.
Okay.
It is.
That is also a thing I sometimes struggle
totally.
With.
Totally. No, me too. That's, I like.
That's one of the reasons I don't read much high fantasy.
Totally.
I'm like, oh my gosh, okay.
I literally like.
Got a learning curve to it.
I cringe so hard at most high fantasies because I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce this. I don't know what this means. Like, just say the thing. Like, just say what you mean. And so yeah, this basically is just like one step away from our world. It just, they happen to have dragons and they don't have cell phones. Like that's really the main differences.
Yeah.
It's really good. And it's, yeah, like it just, the way that the kind of school works is very, like you either survive or you don't, like like it's not like, oh, we're gonna like test you on all these things. It's like, all right, good luck you know, crossing this crazy slippery windy bridge. If you cross the bridge, you get to go to the school. All right, cool, you cross the bridge. All right, so you're gonna learn some things and then eventually we're gonna have like a dragon bonding ceremony and like good luck. I hope the dragon doesn't burn you alive. If a dragon selects you as its rider, cool, you get to be a dragon rider. Like it's like, all right, now you get to learn how to ride a dragon. Better hope you don't fall off. Like it's really, and the main character has Ehlers-Danlos. They don't call it that. They don't name it. But that's the disability that she has, which means she has, as my friend who has Ehlers-Danlos refers to it, she has crazy joints. you know, you can pop your whatever shoulder out of its socket simply by like nudging it against the wall too hard, things like that. And which obviously makes riding a dragon very difficult.
Yeah.
They come up with a solution for that, and it's neat, and it's not magic.
It's not like magicking away the disability.
No,
yeah,
she
that's
still
what
has
I've
her
heard
disability.
People is, that
and they
it's
make accommodations,
yeah.
Which is really cool. And she has a very cool bond with her dragons, and she has a very very nice enemies to lovers steamy romance that occurs. It's great.
Yeah.
It really, honestly, I liked it a lot, and I'm very much looking forward to the sequel. So, good job, Rebecca Yarros. Well done on Fourth Wing. Another book, so I listened to a romance novel called Business or Pleasure by Rachel Lynn Solomon. She wrote The X Talk. And this book is very cute. It's very funny. It's very steamy. But the premise is so funny to me. So it's about this woman who's a ghostwriter. And
oh,
she,
yes, yes.
Oh, my God. So she goes. It opens with her at a bookstore at an event. And it's for the celebrity or whoever that she's just ghostwritten a memoir for, right? And it was, like, a difficult client. Lots of emails back and forth. Mm-hmm. Like, a difficult client. But she's like, all right, like, I wrote this book. I'm, like, proud of it. And I'm gonna get it signed. And, like, maybe she'll have me sign her copy. Like, it'll be, like, a cutesy thing. And she gets up to the table at the end of the event. And the woman has no idea who she is.
Oh, my God.
And it's so funny. And so she's like, obviously extremely offended, and she goes next door to like get drunk and starts flirting with this incredibly gorgeous man, and they go back and have a one-night stand, which she's like, I never do this, but like whatever, I've had a bad night. And he's terrible in bed. Like, they have so much chemistry, and then he's just terrible in bed. Like, it's as if he's never done it before. And she's horrified, and she, like, sneaks out and, like, is like, I'm just going to ghost him. Like, I can't with that. And the next day, she gets a call from, like, her editor or whoever, who's like, hey, you have an opportunity to, you know, your next project is potentially for this, like, guy who is on this werewolf show. Sure. And, you know, many years ago, he kind of just does, like, the con circuit now. Yeah. And he's writing a memoir. He's, like, he's got this, like, cult following. Like, people yeah. love him.
He was basically on Supernatural.
And, yeah, if they, you know, they have asked for you specifically. They have read your stuff, like, him and his team. And they think that you're the right person for the job. So I've set you up for, like, a lunch meeting today. Go. Yeah. And she's like, ah, okay. And she walks in, and it's the guy from the night before. And she's horrified, but they play it off like they've never met before. Yep. And eventually they have a conversation where she finally just admits to him, she's like, you were terrible in bed. Like, that's why I didn't stay. Like, you were, she was like, I like you so much, but you're so bad in bed. And he's like, what? And he goes and, like, calls his ex-girlfriends to be like, wait, no, but was I terrible? And they're all like, yeah, buddy. Yeah. And he's,
you were just hot.
So yeah. Like,
and nice, probably.
He's so nice. And he's yeah. so nerdy. Like, think Henry Cavill, but, like, if he was terrible in bed. And it's so cute. So him and the ghostwriter, like, she agrees to work on the book. And he's like, will you give me lessons? And she's like, I mean, okay.
Sure.
And yeah, so that's
cute.
Yeah, she gives him lessons in the bedroom. And they fall in love, obviously. I like that as
a concept for a romance yeah. novel, because, like, I do think we often put a lot of pressure on that as yeah. like a, you know, every romance novel, it's
mind-blowing.
Yeah. Everything goes perfectly, totally. And it's incredible, and they're fantastic and yes. great. And that doesn't always happen, and, like, sometimes, yeah, you can work on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels great. More realistic than
absolutely.
Some other.
It's really, it's such a fun concept. I loved it so much. I was like, this is great. And their chemistry, like, outside of the bedroom is so good. Like, you're just like, oh, this is what it's like to have a crush on someone. Like, yeah. it's very, like, it's great. So that's a fun one. That's Business or Pleasure. The book we just did for the Jack of All Graves book club was mm-hmm. Revenge by Yoko Ogawa, okay. which is a collection of short stories that all have connective tissue. Like, they all
oh, nice.
Intertwine.
I like that.
I actually want to ask Josh Malerman if he's read this, because
it has
it gave
vibe.
Goblin vibes.
Okay,
I was like, I wonder if he read this many years ago. It's really, really good, and each story deals with, like, death and grief and things like that. It's, I would say, not, it's horror, but it's like horror light. It's very mild. And it's really fascinating. And it's the type of book that when you finish it, you're like, I want to read that whole thing again, because I absolutely missed things that, like, each one, like, there's only, I think, two named characters in the whole book.
Oh, interesting.
But each story, there will be a character, like, you're following the main character, and you're like, oh, this was a side character from the story previous.
Oh, interesting.
Or whatever.
I like that.
They all intertwine. It kind of bounces around in time, but ultimately kind of centers around, like, one specific day at this one specific time. And it's really fascinating and really, really good. And the book club conversation, we talked for, like, 90 minutes about this book, and we barely scratched the surface. Like, we really only talked about the book as a whole, and we didn't even really get into the individual stories.
Interesting.
Like, it's so rich.
Sounds like a good book club.
It's a fantastic. Yeah. I'm actually going to recommend it for the Gibson's book club for the October.
Yeah, that would be fun.
It's great. It's really well written and, like, very short.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a novella, but a bunch of short stories. Translated from Japanese. And what's interesting is we were trying to figure out, we were like, okay, so it's called Revenge. It's like there's really only, like, one, maybe two stories that are revenge-ish, like, revenge-focused. We're like, I wonder what the original title was. And we looked it up, and loosely translated from Japanese, the original title is something to the effect of The Silent Corpse.
Oh, that's a better title.
How good is that?
Yeah.
So that's a better title. And I think we should call it that. that is fantastic. The next JOAG book club book is Ghost Eaters by Claim Cloud Chapman.
Ooh, fun.
I'm very excited for that one. I told the book club members, I was like, once people start reading it, I was like, let me know general feedback, because if it's positive, I might be able to get Clay to, like, hop in for a little bit at the beginning to chat.
That would
so,
be fun.
Which I think people will like it a lot. I love it dearly. So that's fun. And as I always put the JOAG links in the show notes as well. That is open to anyone. Just show up. It's all virtual. Let's see. Oh, I've been reading This Wretched Valley by Jenny Kiefer.
Okay.
She owns Butcher Cabin Books in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
Which is the horror bookstore. Love them. Love her. This book is basically what if the Dyatlov Pass, but with rock climbers?
Oh, okay. I'm listening.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like a little ways into it, and the way it starts is there's basically it's like a group of people are going out to try to find this natural rock wall. So there's like one of the people is like a grad student or something, and like their like thesis is that they're trying to discover like new rock climbing walls that like haven't been discovered.
Interesting. Okay.
And they're like, I think I found one, but it's like interesting, like something goes wonky with the maps.
Okay.
So right off the bat you're like, oh, there's something weird going on,
because
it's like some of the maps don't show it and then some of them do. And then they're like trying to find it, and like weird things are starting to happen, and like,
that's fantastic.
You know, they have a dog with them and the dog is like flipping out and barking at seemingly nothing.
Mm.
And then, yeah.
Okay.
So,
okay. I am intrigued.
You're going to like it,
okay.
I think. It's really good so far. Another horror book that I'm reading an advanced copy of that I will probably not shut up about for the rest of the year is called Out There Screaming. And this...
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
This is an anthology of black horror edited by Jordan Peele.
Yeah. I have not started it yet, but y'all, it starts with a short story by
N.K. Jemisin.
N.K. Jemisin, thank you. Yes. Yeah, that's, you know, right off the bat.
Yup. I'm like 30 or 40% of the way through, and I have absolutely loved every single story so far. They're so good. They're all so different, but really awesome horror that's either like about being black, or some of them the characters just happen to be black.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the whole spectrum.
Yeah.
It's really awesome, and I'm so excited for it. It was announced, he announced it on Twitter, and like I like left my body
for
a minute. I was like,
he spent the whole day talking about it.
I'm never gonna shut up about this book. I'm so excited. So that's called Out There Screaming. It comes out later this year, and I'm
So excited for it. And then two others that I'm reading right now. I'm reading a book that, or I'm listening to it on Libra FM. It is a 40th anniversary edition of a book that I think did not have an audiobook to begin with. Okay. And now it's the 40th anniversary, and so they have released an audiobook of it. It's called Hollywood Wives by Jackie Collins. And okay. It's like the first like real like smutty novel.
Ooh, okay.
And it is so much fun. It's so it follows a bunch of different Hollywood couples.
Okay.
So like celebrities and their wives.
Yeah.
And there's like there's a movie that's been written and is being cast. There's a party that's being planned. You're following the couples in their relation to these two kind of like events.
Yeah.
And also they're all sleeping around. Of like course. Everyone's yeah. having affairs. Everyone's lying to each other. Like it is it's funny, but it's also like there's this undertone of like a sinister like you can't trust anyone because mm-hmm. they're all lying to each other and their spouses, and like they all will do basically anything to be at the top and to like achieve fame and fortune. And also off to the side, there's a subplot that I am fascinated to see how this is going to intertwine. I'm about halfway through of a serial killer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Interesting. And like one of his victims, possibly his first, I don't think it was his first victim. One of his victims is like someone that like the detective or whoever like found them, like he knew her.
Okay.
And so, but yeah, so I'm really curious as to like how that is going to
connect everything else. Connect to
all of this Hollywood drama.
Interesting.
Yeah, if you are into Hollywood drama, like this book, man. And yeah, it's really funny because it has a foreword. The anniversary edition has a foreword by Colleen Hoover.
Okay, she's like, interesting.
She's like, so many romance writers and like smut writers wouldn't exist without this book. Like,
okay.
This is like the first one. And she, like, broke ground.
Interesting.
Yeah. Really, really cool. So that's called Hollywood Wives by Jackie Collins. And then the last one I'm going to mention, I'm reading for an interview, The Weaver and the Witch Queen by Genevieve Gornicek.
Oh, yeah.
Love her. As we're recording this, I'm going to be interviewing her in just a couple of days. She wrote The Witch's Heart, which was that, like, cool take on like Loki and Thor and Loki's wife, and very, very cool story. Her stories are very like historical plus myth. There's magic, but it reads like historical fiction. Like
it's yeah, I mean like Cersei good. Is usually yes. the yeah. thing that people compare it to, and I think that's apt.
Absolutely. And so this one, it's again Viking Age history and myth. It follows primarily two women who, one of whom is her sister has been taken and she's like desperate to save her sister.
Okay.
The other one left home at a young age and was raised by this seeress.
Okay.
Fortune teller witch. Sure. And now she is a witch in her own right. And so she is basically destined to become the Queen of Norway.
Okay, wow.
And those two women and the first woman's sister knew each other as children. And they were part of this really interesting prophecy told to them by the seeress that
okay.
Gunhild eventually goes to live with. Basically the prophecy, it was, like, the two sisters, like, go up to, like, get their prophecy told, and, like, the CRS, like, starts to kind of give their prophecy, and then Gunhild kind of, like, joins them, and the okay. CRS is all of a sudden, like, I'm so sorry, I can't. I can't. Huh. And kind of later that night, she confesses to Gunhild, she's like, I see so much blood and darkness, and she's like, but I don't, she's like, it's not entirely clear, but like, I think it'll be okay for you, but okay. Like, she's like, it's just, it's complex and I can't really
figure it out.
And also like, there had been a fortune told many years before, there had been a prophecy of Gunhild that like her family wouldn't speak of.
Okay.
So something was going on there. And so that's kind of like where it opens. And then it takes off from there. And it's really, really good. And I'm so excited to finish it. Genevieve Gornicek is such a wonderful writer. And she's a delight to talk to. So I'm very excited for that interview. That'll go up as you're listening to this, probably in the next few days. It'll be up.
Nice.
So yeah, that's what I've been up to. Lots of reading, lots of good stuff, and also recovering from Barbenheimer.
yeah, you know,
which is delightful. Everyone, go see all the things. Please. So the reading challenge, talked about this earlier this year, that we created a little reading challenge. I do want to mention that I have uploaded it to Storygraph. So if you have Storygraph,
I didn't realize
you
that.
You can find the lay down reading challenge and you can actually track your progress that way if you want.
We have little bingo cards for Instagram there are lots of little graphics. We'll probably
there's a page on our website that it links to different shoppable lists if you need recommendations. So according to Storygraph, I'm about 65% of the way done with my reading challenge.
I have not done the Storygraph portion of it, so I don't know, but I have three left.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're so close.
I have
a bunch left. Yeah. I've done about 15 of the 24 categories, although I think I realized earlier today that I actually have 16. I just haven't marked it yet.
That, and sometimes for me, it's like going back and being like, oh, yes, I did read a novella. Here it is.
Yeah.
Do we want to just talk about what we read? I mean, and I figure a lot of them I've talked about already, so we can kind of...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the first category is novella.
Yep.
So I did The Salt Grows Heavy.
Me too!
Yay!
By Cassandra Kaw.
We love them.
Yes, we do. So, super great medieval scary mermaid and plague doctor.
So good.
They're real good.
So much fun. We had such a fun event with Cass.
Yeah.
A while back. They are delightful. The second category is an audiobook from Libre.fm.
I know, I just picked one randomly because I have so many. I chose Tell Me I'm Worthless by Alison Rumfitt.
Incredible.
Which, yeah.
I did Happy Place by Emily Henry.
Nice. Yeah. It was just kind of like, okay, what's a book that I liked that I'll put on here? Because
most of the things that I read are audiobooks. Yeah,
if it's an audiobook, it's there's a very good chance it's from Libre.fm, and about half the books I read are audiobooks.
Yes. Let's see. Yeah. The next category is a book over 500 pages.
Yes.
I reread Wanderers earlier this year, so that's filling that category.
I did Our Share of Night by Mariana Enriquez, which I did. I listened to that one. It's like a 24-hour
amazing
audiobook, but it's very good and very twisty and complicated and layered and.
Yeah, I need to.
I need to
listen to that one.
It's a long one, but it's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. I reread Wanderers by Chuck Wendig in preparation for reading Wayward by Chuck Wendig, which is the sequel, which I am still reading, and I'm also reading his other book, Black River Orchard.
Yep.
I'm like inundated with Chuck Wendig in the best way. But I'm like savoring them because they're so good. So. Do not be put off by how long it's taking me to read them.
Oh,
it's just because I don't want them to end because I love his writing so much. The fourth category is a book recommended on the laydown.
Yes.
That's us. Literally anything I've ever read. So I chose Legends and Lattes by Travis Baldry.
Nice. I chose something that you recommended because I thought, I did Camp Damascus by Chuck Tingle, which just came out last week. last week.
Last week.
So,
yay, Chuck.
Definitely. I know we've both shouted about it a bit on here, but yes. Definitely check that out if you want a good, like, summer, almost summer camp. It's not summer camp, but those vibes.
That vibe, yeah.
Yep. Horror.
It's so good. Yeah. It's so good. And yeah, Legends and Lattes, truly delightful. I've never been so invested in the slice of life, day-to-day workings of a coffee shop. I just, it's so sweet. The sequel comes out soon. Well, it's a prequel, technically. But but bookshops and bone dust.
Oh,
very
gosh,
cute.
That's gonna be cute.
All right, the fifth category is a book by an Indigenous author. So I read Don't Fear the Reaper.
That's the one I put too.
Yeah, Stephen Graham Jones.
I mean, I also read The Only Good Indians by him this year as well. So he's a great one. There are a bunch of really good, like, Indigenous horror. We've talked about, you know, Bad Cree and White Horse.
Yes.
And there have been quite a few.
Yeah, there's been some good ones.
And obviously outside of horror, there are just also a ton of incredible Indigenous writers. So I think, we have a good list on the...
Yeah.
The website.
The sixth category was an easy one. That's a book published in 2023.
Yes.
So again, most of the things that I've read. I went with The Whispers by Ashley Audrain, which I read for an interview and loved deeply. Very, very good.
I went with Yellowface by R.F. Kuang, which I think the last time I talked about it back in like December or January when I first read it, I was like, expect this to be the best book of 2023, and I stand by that 6 months later. Like, I have not read anything better this year. I may not have read anything better last year either. Like, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm really
and you really
to
need
that.
To yeah I'm if you haven't read
so
it
so stoked to read that one. It just I've been hand selling it to friends without even having read it.
It's such a good it's so good.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Incredible. All right, the next category is a book by a Black author. I've read a bunch of these, but I chose The Jigsaw Man by Nadine Matheson.
Oh, nice.
Which is, again, like a crime.
Okay.
Not quite horror, edges a little bit into horror.
Thriller-ish,
but mostly
maybe?
Thriller.
Okay.
About a serial killer and a detective trying to solve the murder. And... it gets personal.
It's very good. Again, I read a bunch of things by Black authors, but I, for this, chose The Door of No Return by Kwame Alexander, which is a middle grade novel in verse, the first in, I believe, a trilogy. It's very good. I've talked about it before on here, and definitely, I mean, Kwame Alexander is incredible. He's such a, he's a great speaker. And
he is a great speaker.
The book is pretty, I don't know off the top of my head, but I would guess 300 to maybe 400 pages, but because it's novel in verse, it goes by pretty
it's
quick,
fast,
so even for a kid, it is still, like, an accessible thing.
Yeah, totally. I would agree with that. The next category is a book of cultural criticism, which I haven't read anything yet.
Reasonable. Fair. I read Men, Women, and Chainsaws by Carol J. Clover about gender and horror movies. And that's the book that coined the term Final Girl. So.
You told me about this.
Yeah,
you told
it
me
was
about this
written
book.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
So it is a very interesting one. And it's very interesting if you're like a slasher person to like be like, oh my gosh, okay, so this was where we were at in the Halloween movies. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis hasn't come back yet. Oh my gosh, okay. And like, we don't have as many Friday the 13th. Scream hasn't come out yet. Like,
amazing.
Just these kind of, it's very, an interesting look at a specific time. And there's an introduction to the edition I read by the author that's kind of like, from around this, maybe 2010s somewhere.
Yeah.
But being like, this is... things have changed a lot. Lots going on here, but people still read it. So
that's great.
Yeah. Do you have any ideas about what you might read?
No.
You should read It Came from the Closet.
Oh, maybe I'll do that one. Because I think I bought that, actually.
You probably did.
I think I bought that.
That's real good.
Yeah. I think that's on my shelf in my basement in my horror section. So, yeah, I'll do that one.
Yeah.
I'll do that one because I own it.
Yes.
Okay.
Perfect. Hand sold it.
Woo. And I literally, I think I bought it when it was your staff pick of the month because I was like, I want Joe to win the contest.
And so I did because it's a great book and people wanted to read it. Yeah. So.
The next category is a Gibson's Bookstore staff pick. I went with my favorite book of the year, How to Sell a Haunted House by Grady Hendrix.
Nice. I went with one of Fell's staff picks, Squire by Nadia Shamas and Sarah Alfagi.
Nice.
Yep. Middle grade graphic novel.
Cute.
Yeah.
The next category is a YA horror book. I read White Smoke.
Oh, nice.
Which we actually did for the Jack of All Graves book club. Mm. That is by Tiffany D. Jackson.
Yeah.
It's very good.
I read that one. The one I picked for this, I've read a few YA horror. Go back to our episode on
we
YA
did a whole episode horror. On it.
Read a bunch of things for that, but I chose She is a Haunting by Trang Tan Tran. All the T's.
Yes.
And it's a really great book I've talked about on here, but it's a haunted house in Vietnam.
Yep.
And, you know, the ghosts are colonialism. But yeah, so it's very good.
Okay, the next category, the 11th category, is a social horror. I read The Other Black Girl, which was so
good. That is a really good one.
Oh my god, that book's amazing. That is by Zakiya Delilah Harris.
Yes.
And it is incredible. And that's one of those books that I didn't realize was social horror until we made it a blind date with a book. And someone was like, it's like Get Out! And I was like, wait, what?
I failed you on that one. I don't know what happened. I read the arc and apparently fumbled it.
It's all good. Get Out meets The Devil Wears Prada. I was like, sign me all the way up.
Yeah, it's really interesting and like a lot to do with like the politics of black hair, but horror. It's great.
So good.
I did Jackal by Erin E. Adams.
That book's amazing.
Yeah, that book's really good.
Erin E. Adams has a short story in the Jordan Peele anthology.
Ooh, yay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's real good.
It's real good. All right.
The next few categories, I haven't read anything, so I will toss it to you.
All right. A graphic memoir. I read When Stars Are Scattered by Omar Muhammad and Victoria Jameson. Omar Muhammad is the person who the book is about. Victoria Jameson is a middle grade graphic novelist who kind of partnered with Omar to tell his story about his life as a kid in a refugee camp.
Wow.
And yeah, very good. And it's a middle grade graphic memoir. Mm-hmm. We had a free space. I put my free space in here, which was Lolita by Vladimir Nabokov.
Amazing. I forget what I put for my free space. Let me look at my little picture.
Don't look here.
I forgot about my free space. I did. Hold on. Let's see. Let me pull up my little screenshot here. I put... Where is my free space?
It's in the middle. Where the free space goes.
Yeah, but I... Hold on. My... Okay. All right. The last time I filled out my little bingo card, I think I just went kind of haywire. I think I chose different things than I did on StoryGraph because my free space is How to Sell a Haunted House.
Okay. Well,
that's really funny.
Okay.
I also think I have. What is that one?
Well, it's something else Ryan's talked about on the podcast, I'm sure. It's a free space, so
I mean, really I have anything. When Women Were Dragons on here, and I don't think I have that anywhere else, so I'll say that was my free space.
Cool.
Like, literally my my little bingo card is so different from my story card. That's hilarious. Apparently, I didn't think to look at my bingo card when I was filling out StoryGraph. I just went with, like, I don't know, what have I read recently? Good Lord. Oh, my God.
Anyway. So, the next one is a book of essays. I have not done that one yet. That's one of the ones I have not done. Same. Yeah. Then we have a queer historical fiction, which I read Mortal Follies by Alexis Hall. But also I read a lot of queer historical fiction, so you can see my recommendations on our recommendations list.
I will someday finish the Framers.
Yeah.
Someday.
Someday Ryan will,
I will finish them, I
stop
promise.
Hurting me personally.
I know. It's a hate okay. crime, and it's I'm okay. sorry.
It's okay. I love them so much.
I know.
But But now I have the digital arc of the third one. So now I feel like,
so
all right,
you have
now
motivation to, now like, I have the motivation. The whole series. Mm-hmm. And then we have a Booker Prize winner, which I have not read anything for that yet. I always read the one that comes out.
Yeah.
Like the whatever is picked for the winner. So that's probably what I will do. They're announcing the long list next week, I believe, week after maybe.
Yeah.
Beginning of August.
I will reevaluate. But you had recommended one for me, and I
there are a lot that I like. I mean, I think we had talked about Lincoln and Lombardo.
Yeah.
If that's not your vibe, I mean, Seven Moons of Mali Amida, which was last year, was really good Sri Lankan, like, kind of dreamy. I also really like Milkman by Anna Burns, which is about the troubles.
That might be the one that you said.
Yeah. In Northern Ireland.
I will reevaluate once the new list comes out.
Yeah.
Because I do really want to read Lincoln and the Bardo at some point, but I also want to do the audiobook at the same time. So I don't know if I'll get to that for this one, but I think Milkman was the one that you were I feel like you would like this one.
Yeah, it's really good and weird, and I feel like a lesser known one of the bookers. For sure. And then we have a book, that was the
book in translation.
I did Happening by Annie Ernaux. It was the first book I read this year. It's just 96 pages about her abortion in the 60s in France.
Mm.
Fascinating.
And I did Revenge by Yugo Ogawa.
Nice. Ogawa. Yeah. And we have, I've read a decent number of things in translation this year.
Yeah, you have, actually.
Our Share of Night is another one. And then we had, we both read Tender is the Flesh.
Right.
That author,
is that this year?
Yeah, that author just has a new
Augustina
book of
Basterica or something.
Yeah,
she got a new one.
New book of short stories out. So
19
Claws or something along those lines.
I'm intrigued by that. Yeah, I might read that.
And then a non-violent true crime book. I have not done this yet. I have my eye on The Art Thief by Michael Finkel, which came out a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And looks good. And,
yes. I might do that one too, or
Feather Thief,
I think.
If you haven't read Feather Thief, that's my favorite one. That one's wild.
I will never forget you describing what happens in Feather Thief to me on the podcast.
Yeah.
And me just slowly losing my mind.
Yeah. That is the whole book is just being what is happening?
Yeah. So I might do that one.
Yeah, that one's great. A retelling of Shakespeare. I read Enter the Body by Joy McAuliffe.
Mm.
It's a YA novel in verse. It takes place I think I've talked about it, but it takes place under the globe stage, where the bodies fall in, and then it's the heroines kind of talking about their stories.
So cool.
Yeah.
I haven't read any
We'll get there.
We're halfway through the year. We're fine.
Yeah. I have plenty of recommendations.
I was gonna say, I'm just gonna be like, Joe,
read Hagseed by Margaret Atwood, probably.
I might.
That one you probably like.
Or the Mona Awad.
All's Well is great.
All's Well, I might read.
Yeah.
Because I like her.
And an indie next pick.
Oh yeah.
That one I chose Bad Cree by Jessica Johns.
Nice.
Which was really
that
good.
One. I did The 7 Year Slip by Ashley Poston.
Nice.
She was very cute. My interview with her is up now. She is delightful. And that book is so cute because it's about an apartment that plays with time a little bit. So sometimes you walk into your apartment and it's 7 years in the past and there's a man in your kitchen making, like, a lemon pie. And you're like, "Whoa, who are you?"
It's great. That's fantastic.
And then you fall in love. It's great.
The next one is a romance with a black indigenous person of color as the protagonist. I read Devon and Chris Plan a Wedding by Cynthia C. Higgins, which is a very cute sapphic reality dating show romance.
Love that. I did The Neighbor Favor by Christina Forrest.
Nice.
Which was very, very cute.
We have a book by debut author. Your Driver is Waiting by Priya Guns is what I read, which is that one that's like a rewrite of Taxi Driver, but with a Sri Lankan immigrant.
That one sounded really good.
It's super weird. It's a good one.
I chose Kismet by Becky Chelson, who was on the podcast. Nice. And that was that's a really good beach read. That's a really good summer read. Summer romance, family drama, the whole, all of it. It's really cute.
Nice. A book from one of the LGBTQ plus bookmarks that we have here in the store. I read The Black Flamingo by Dean Atta. It's a YA novel in verse.
Love
about a drag boy coming into his own as a drag queen.
Yes, yeah. I adore that book. I was looking at the bookmarks earlier and I was like, oh, I read Tell Me I'm Worthless by Alison Rumfitt.
There you go. Yeah, it's surprisingly, we made the list, so there are things we put on it. We have a book with a trans protagonist by a trans author. I've read quite a few of those, but I chose Dead Collections by Isaac Fellman, which is the vampire archivist romance.
I need to read that one.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that one. It's a good one.
And I put Brainworms by Elsa Rumpfitt.
Solid. And then our last one is a short story collection by a black indigenous person of color author. And I did Night of the Living Queers, which is an anthology of short stories, edited by Alex Brown and Shelley Page, which I've talked about, which is all queer people of color authors writing about queer people of color. And it's horror. There are so many things. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's a really good collection.
And I will be, once I finish it, it will be Out There Screaming by Jordan Peele, which... Yeah, it's a collection of all different black authors. Yay, we did it!
Yay, we're doing so well.
That's where we're at. Like I said, you can do the challenge on Storygraph. You can download or screenshot the graphics on our Instagram. I have it on the... on the Laydown's Instagram, there's a little highlight that has the graphic that you can screenshot to use, or you can download it from our website.
And I think we'll probably post our graphics later.
Yes.
At some point in the next week or two.
Edit
hopefully.
Mine, I guess.
Put yours together. Who knows what you did?
I randomly assigned. I've just read... For some of the categories, there are so many different ones
that you just overlapped. It's reasonable.
Yeah.
We read a lot of books, and again, we came up with this list, so it kind of leans into our interests.
Yeah, absolutely. If you are participating in the challenge and you post it to Instagram or whatever, please tag us because we want to see.
We
want to see what you guys are reading. We love it.
Reading, and it's a bingo card. Like, if you want to just do bingo, go for it. You don't
just
have
do bingo.
Do all 24.
Yeah. Yeah. No worries. So that's where we're at, and we'll. Be back to our regularly scheduled fun times next month.
Yeah.
Got some interviews coming, so get excited about that. We've got some guests coming. Get excited about that.
Yeah, I know. We're headed in guest season for the podcast, so let's
get excited. But in the meantime, you can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com.
For a shoppable list of all the books we've discussed during this episode, you can click the link in our show notes or go to gibsonsbookstore.com/laydown-books. Make sure you're following us on your favorite social media platforms. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and all of those links will be in the show notes. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the bookstore.
Bye! Bye.